Welcome to Coach, a podcast dedicated to showcasing the power of coaching. I'm your host, Dr. Katie Linder, and I offer coaching to academics and higher education professionals to bring more ease to their lives and work. Before you dive into this episode, here's a quick introduction to the structure of the show. In each season of Coach to Coach, a new guest coach will come on the show to demonstrate a range of coaching tools and strategies. The first episode will offer you an introduction to the guest coach. Then I'll coach the guest, and they'll coach me for the next six episodes. And always on real topics and issues we're dealing with in our own lives. Each season will end with a debrief episode where we'll talk about how the season went and offer any updates on the topics covered in earlier episodes. It might make the most sense to start each season in the beginning and listen to the episodes in order. This season, I'm delighted to introduce you to Dr. Katie Peplin. Katie specializes in working with graduate students and offers them a community and network to support their needs and help them to live whole lives while pursuing their degrees. Now, on to the episode.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I am excited because tonight I am being coached, which is always a fun feeling, and I am looking forward to it.
Yes, I have had this in my special, like, important color in my calendar all day, so it's been very exciting.
Oh, I'm glad that I rated an important color. That's
yes,
fun.
Yes, my favorite shade of blue in Google Cal, blueberry.
Okay, love it.
Okay, so I did go through and read your intake form, but I always like to ask first, like, how are you landing today in our session? Like, how are you feeling? Anything kind of that's come up since you filled that out? Things that feel important for us to start with?
I feel like I'm landing okay. So last time, just to give a quick update, we had talked about the yoga integration and kind of the evening ritual. And since that time, I have been traveling. So it's my world's been a little bit disrupted. And I will be completely wide open and honest that no yoga has occurred. It's probably been roughly 2 weeks since we had that conversation. Okay. However, I did feel like I had a major win because when I got back from that recent trip, which was like a very quick 48-hour, you know, 10 hours on a plane in 2 days, I was feeling really tight the following day. Yeah. And I took a recovery day and I did a lot of stretching. So not like yoga necessarily, but like lots of like pigeon pose and I mean some yoga moves, but it wasn't like watching a yoga video or anything like that. I just kind of went very based on kind of my intuition and my instinct of like what I felt I needed. And so I did a lot of work with like my shoulders, my back, my hips to kind of loosen things up. And that felt like something that I don't know that I would have done if I hadn't kind of had on my mind, you know, this idea of like taking care of the body and like being rooted in that. I also would say, I do feel like I've been thinking more carefully about my evenings and trying to be a little bit better about how I'm scheduling things. I'm just in a season right now where I'm having some evening meetings, which is unusual. And so, that's something that I'm just kind of like being more attentive to. So, other than that, I mean, I think that things are feeling, you know, relatively stable in terms of like work and life. I think, you know, as I'm looking toward the fall, I'm really thinking about what it means to have kind of a restful season. And so even though my workload is like pretty massive, I'm trying to have the right mindset around it. And, you know, the work's always going to be there, so I can build in the rest and the breaks, you know, as I need them.
Yeah, for sure. It's really exciting to me to hear that so many of the things that we talked about in the last session are kind of coming through in unexpected ways.
Yeah.
Which to me really suggests that it wasn't just like a formula that we kind of discussed and then you implemented, but there was really a lot of work that you did to kind of like unfold those. I think that was the word that you used, to kind of like unfold and see where it does fit in and where it doesn't. And the fact that you didn't arrive at this call feeling the need to like lie and be like, oh yeah, I've done yoga every day.
Right.
or like completely dodge that question, which I might have had to push back on. But like, I think the fact that it could have easily become an additional source of kind of like guilt or not done things. And the fact that it feels more open and expansive than that is really, I think, a testament to your work to not let it be those things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like one of the areas that I've done a lot of work on just kind of personally is positive self-talk.
Yeah.
And not like letting myself off the hook completely. But one of the things I was thinking about as I was preparing for our call tonight was, I do feel like it's one of those things where it's like, is this the right season to do this? You know, like it may just not be the right season to implement this. I do love the idea of having an evening routine that's more relaxing and, you know, all of that. But my morning routine is super solid. I'm really happy with that. And I think sometimes it's okay to just say, I'm happy with how things are. I don't need to keep adding more and more. I don't need to keep like trying to tweak to make perfection. And so that was something I was thinking about, was just that I am pretty happy with how things are going. It'd be nice to kind of layer in some of this other stuff, but it doesn't feel so mandatory for me. And I do feel like there are other forms of self-care, like massage, that I've really been focusing on, and scheduling, and you know, that kind of thing is working well. So it is good, I think, to be flexible with it and just kind of see what fits and what doesn't given the season.
Yeah. And I think that language around seasons is really kind of important, and maybe something that we'll talk about, because I know that you want to talk about this sort of creative retreat, which to me seems like a mini season. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Declaration. But I think that knowing that eventually our resources are finite, like there's only so many hours, we only have so many things, and to be able to say, okay, like what's still really serving me, and where do I have space? And maybe you just don't have space. Like sometimes you just can't plant anything more in the garden because everything's growing and doing really well. And then there's other seasons where you can do a little bit of harvesting and replanting, so to speak. But that awareness that eventually, if you just keep adding and adding and adding, it's going to become counterproductive despite your best intentions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I know from your intake form that you really want to talk about the creative retreat. So how about you catch me up a little bit, because I know that I've seen them on Instagram from kind of the outside in. But tell me a little bit more about what you mean just by the phrase creative retreat.
Yeah. So a couple times a year, I take what I call creative retreats. And they used to be writing retreats, and then I started to implement other kinds of things into the retreats that weren't just writing, like website design and things like that. And so I shifted the name to be creative retreats. But I've done these for several years now. And typically what I do is maybe 2 to 3 times a year, I try to strategically use my vacation time. So I'll pick in this case, it's Labor Day week. So I'm taking 4 days of vacation. But that with the weekends, it gives me 9 days of what I'm calling my creative retreat. So the first week of September, as we record this, it's about mid-August, I'll be taking this creative retreat. And what I've done in the past, sometimes I have, and I should say also, typically I will take one in like May. Sometimes I do it in December. This is the first time I think I'm doing it in September. So I build them in different times of year. But in the past, I've done things like a lot of writing for book projects. The last one I did I think I did one in May. I'm trying to think of what I did. It was a lot of like around strategic planning for my business. Last December, it was very much about like a strategic, like a lot about content marketing for my business, doing some website work, some client work, and I really just need a bunch of days strung together to do some planning and just to kind of put my head down and get a bunch of things done. And I often use these creative retreats to work ahead. So I have I actually took 2 full weeks off at the very end of this calendar year. So I have another one coming up there, which will really help me to plan out like the entire 2020 services and products calendar for my business. So this one in September, I kind of scheduled it intentionally for this time period because I've been in the process of going through a rebrand for my business. And I have the materials now from, I was working with an agency, and I want to use this time in September to start to kind of implement some of that rebrand. But I have a whole list of things that could kind of go into this retreat. And part of what I wanted to do tonight was just to think about kind of planning it, and maybe like walking away with a little bit of a schedule of what I'm thinking about for each day. Cause that's something that's worked well for me in the past.
Okay. So, just so that I am very clear on what you would like to walk away from, would you like to have kind of like a structure for understanding about how to go through and then plan each day? Or would you like to kind of spend our time actually planning each day?
I think it's more about the actual planning because, like when I've done this in the past, something that worked well the last time I had kind of an extended time like this is I broke things into kind of like half day chunks.
Okay.
And kind of themed them and was like, and then I created, I mean, this is like the nerdy, let's just go there.
Yeah. Roll with it. Yeah.
Like, you know, granular to-do lists for each of the different themes. So like if I was working on podcasting, then I like had this list of things I wanted to do with the podcast. If I was working on a client website, I had the list of things I wanted to do for that. And then as I got to each of the periods of like the half day or the full day, depending on how much time I thought I would need, I would just go to that list and kind of work my way through it. So part of what I envision tonight's session being is a way for me to kind of plan ahead so that when I get to the creative retreat, I have a sense of what I'm supposed to be doing. Right. And I'm always flexible around like if I don't feel like doing one thing, I just shift the days around. So it's not rigid. But I do want to get a sense of like what's actually realistic for me to do in this time period of 9 days when I know that at least a couple of those days I'm going to want to rest or take a break. Okay. So part of it is just kind of trying to figure out what's reasonable in that period of time to do.
Okay. So the question that I have first before we kind of dive into that is that you've mentioned that you've done these a couple of times before, and I would love if you could think back to like the best one that you've ever had, like the one that like when you think about it is kind of like the platonic ideal. Mm-hmm. And what were the features of that that you think made it so successful?
Oh, so I think the one that's kind of closest to what I'm envisioning for this one is what I was just describing. So I had kind of the themed days or half days, depending on what I was doing. I had to-do lists that I had planned out in advance of what I was hoping to do for each of the like sub areas.
Sure.
And I was able to... I mean, part of it too, and I don't anticipate this being a challenge, is like my partner knows what I'm up to. And so I just get left alone. Like I just do my thing. And that's definitely part of the success of it is like not having to worry about that. I did plan out like some food stuff in advance so that I wouldn't have to be thinking too much about, you know, like meals and stuff like that. So I did some meal planning. Really the whole goal is to just like put my head down and do the work. And I think that I mean, one of the things, it's kind of like there's a tension because I remember at the end of this other one, that's kind of the Platonic ideal, that I felt really cognitively tired, but I was also like amazed at how much I was able to get done. Like it was like, I looked at it and I was like, I'm not sure how this happened. Like there was just so many things that I wanted to do and that I was able to get done. And it's an affirmation of my ability to kind of guesstimate what I can do in any given period of time. But I also know that given kind of the restful mindset that I'm hoping to have for upcoming work periods, I don't want to go crazy with this particular one. So I have a lot of possibilities of what I could do. And so part of what I'm trying to think about tonight and as I go into this is what is really the priority?
Sure.
Like what is the stuff that I really could use dedicated time over a period of multiple days. Like there's some things that I probably could put off until later and could do in like fits and starts, like on a weekend. Yeah. If I have 9 days, you know, like I want to kind of make sure I'm spending
a precious specific resource.
It is. Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're using it wisely. Okay. So, and I know that you just mentioned that there's a little bit of tension between kind of like knowing that you are capable of amazing amounts of kind of output, but also that takes quite a bit of energy to maintain at that pace. Are there any other like tensions or like sticky points that you think would be important for us to discuss as we're planning, like kind of guardrails, so to speak?
Well, I mean, there's definitely, I think one, I don't know if this is like, I think it used to be a tension and I feel like it's something just to keep in mind is obviously I'm like sitting at my desk all day, like trying to get this stuff done. So with the new kind of morning routine I have, that will be kept up during this period. So I will walk in the morning, I will do my morning pages, you know, I will do kind of the normal things before I kind of settle in to do work. But it would also, I think, be helpful to consider what should I be doing in the middle or at the end of the day? Like, okay, maybe this is where the yoga comes in.
Yeah.
To kind of unfold from sitting at my desk. And also I have a standing desk, so I can kind of go back and forth between sitting and standing. So this idea of like taking care of the physical self, which is very difficult for me when I get into
the zone,
a design flow state, you know, I'm kind of doing all this stuff. And I think my plans for this retreat definitely involve design. I don't know how much writing I'm going to be doing, but I'm definitely going to be designing things. And so I very much anticipate losing myself a little bit in that.
Okay. And then the sort of like last meta question before we kind of really dive in is, have there ever been any retreats or any times where you felt like it didn't go as planned or it wasn't like the best use of this resource? Is there anything that you can sort of think of that might be important to kind of like purposefully plan in another direction?
Mm. So I love that question. But I honestly can't think of a time where this has not worked for me, which is why I trust it so much. Like it's, I mean, it has shifted over time and I've used my instincts to kind of think about, you know, when I shifted it from writing to more creative work, that kind of thing. Yeah. But this is actually like where I thrive. I mean, like having this kind of dedicated time that I can plan ahead and just like get down to it.
Yeah.
Maybe one thing now that I'm thinking about it is there is definitely, especially when I'm working on a book project or something big, which will probably be what I'm doing here. There's always the fear, you know, of like, you know, so you're combating that. I mean, like during the retreat, and like, there's definitely a level of discipline and willpower that goes into like forcing myself a little bit to like get into something that feels intimidating or that feels kind of scary. So I can see that being an issue. And also like if I'm in the kind of messy middle of some of this design work and I'm like, this is not working how I want, like, and just getting the frustrated, like, am I going to be able to do this? You know, like, so there's definitely going to be like walls that I'm going to hit during it. It's not all like sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
So that would be one thing that I could think of maybe that would fall into that.
Okay. I'm really excited because it sounds like to me, you have like a good sense of what the structure is. Like, I often think a lot about when I'm working with clients, like, what kind of containers can we build that you need to fill with a certain kind of energy? And it sounds like you have a really good sense of what the container is, what it takes to build it. You've done all this prep to make sure that you can get 9 days off, which is amazing. So like, I think you've done quite a bit of the work already. And so now the question shifts not from like, how can we make this a successful event, but how can we best fit the possibilities of what could be on this list with the like very specific, beautiful, but finite, limited resource of this retreat.
Right.
And so I think the first thing to say is that there's probably no wrong plan, right? Like, and so what kind of chunks, if we were to start sort of filling in the like big boulders, right? And that's the way I often think about things is you kind of put like the big, if you ever like planned a garden, you have to put the like big stuff in first and then you can kind of fill the smaller gravel and the sand in around it. What is like your gut saying is the first biggest boulder to fit?
Well, when I originally designed this retreat, I was definitely planning to do website design.
Okay.
So that is like absolutely on the list. I have two websites that I need to work on this fall. One is a revamp of my professional website using the new branding elements that have been created through this rebrand. And then two, I need to build a site from scratch for my coach training program, which will also be using the new branding elements. So those are like probably the heaviest lift in terms of just like everything on the sites will need to be touched, you know, like, and I, the good news is I have the brand elements. So I know the fonts, I know the colors, I know like there's certain things along those lines that I don't have to make decisions around, but in terms of just like choosing templates and like figuring out how the site's going to be designed and the coach training site in particular, at the very least, I need like a beta up. Like I need a place for people to go where they can just get basic information. I don't anticipate that I have like, as you can imagine, you know, really massive plans for like what that's going to be. And like, especially around content marketing and the blog and things like that. So those two things, I mean, if I left the retreat feeling kind of confident about those things, or just making like a really large dent, that would be helpful. And I'm also planning on transitioning my domain name for my professional website as well. So there's some like technical back end that I'm going to have my partner help me with. So, but that was like the original plan. Okay. And I wanted to kind of think about, are there other things too that I want to do that I need to kind of add to that list? And I mean, I did do some brainstorming and there's like 14 things on this list. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities other than the website work, but that those are the ones that I feel like would be pretty time intensive.
Okay. So how familiar are you with the kind of like agile project management style?
Like the Scrum stuff or something?
Yeah. So in one of the, like one of the principles of Agile, which is a project management system, is this idea of like a minimum viable product. And so you as like a team, when you sit down and kind of decide on your milestones or your deliverables for the customer, you can say like, okay, this is like the end goal. And this is the MVP. This is what, if I were to get this, it would be functional. And I think that that could be a really useful idea for you as you're starting to think about, okay, here's this project, like the coaching plan site that could be a 100% thing. And actually in my head, it's probably 150% feature rich, right? What are the like most important features to make sure that they're up now? And that way you can sort of say like, okay, if I were to get these done and I felt called to work on another project, I'd feel safe pivoting rather than having to make that call in the moment.
Right. I mean, I think for the coaching website, that makes a ton of sense because I think it definitely is a phased approach. And there are some things I need to put up relatively quickly so that people can make a decision around it, like the training schedule for 2020 and the pricing and, you know, like that kind of information. And I have some stuff kind of already in the works in terms of just the, I've drafted syllabi. I know what the learning outcomes are for the trainings. Like, I mean, there's certain content that I already have that's going to be relatively easy for me to put on the site. But there's also just like FAQs about like, what is coaching and is this right for me and how do I know? And what are the different kinds of coaching in higher ed? And like, there's actual content that I need to draft. Okay. And some of that I can probably pull from the coach training guide I've been working on, but in order for it to be viable, like there are certain things like you're saying that would be relevant. I think for my professional website, it's one of those things where it's harder for me to do a minimal viable product because the website is fully functional.
Right.
It's about transitioning it to a new brand look and feel. And I can't really go halfway on that. It's like, but on the other hand, if I'm doing a new domain name, I can build the site on the new domain name, redirect it when it's ready. So if I get to the end of retreat and I have a couple pages that like aren't transitioned yet or whatever, that's not going to be a difficult thing for me to do. So I think that that's a helpful way to kind of think about it because I think for me, I definitely am feeling this kind of pressure and part of me just wants to give into it. I'll be honest of like when I do the brand, you know, overhaul that I really want it to kind of all happen at once. And I do feel like this retreat is an opportunity for that to kind of do a bunch of things all at one time. And just make sure I'm doing them in the correct order so that as it rolls out, it's looking really cohesive. Like I have a monthly newsletter. And so can I get that together before September 1? Like that would be early in the retreat to kind of redo that newsletter and kind of get it the way that I want it and all those kinds of things. So there's definitely like a timeline situation in terms of how I'm kind of rolling these things out and when.
Yeah. So to me, I'm kind of like imagining a pretty flexible schedule where you say like, okay, these are the first couple of days. Like I know that I'm doing the newsletter and know, and like you make those first chunks. And then there are, and those chunks are kind of like time specific, but then there are other chunks where if you needed to pivot, like you've said in other points in the retreat, you could. And I think that maybe one of the goals for the planning is to be able to say, okay, like these are units that could fit anywhere. These are units that need to go in sequence, kind of like a Gantt chart. These are the things that are dependent on one another. This is the stuff that actually needs to go in a certain order. And these are the things that I can play around with and sort of follow my flow and my interest.
Yeah, I love that idea because there's definitely, as I'm looking at my list, there are a couple of things on here that do have a kind of deadline. And there's other stuff on here that like it would be fun to do, but it's like not required. Like it's right. It's one of those things that's like it's a creative thing that would be kind of fun to play around with. But I could definitely do it later into the fall and not feel any kind of pain from not getting it done. I think the main thing I'm concerned about is, and I've never wasted one of these retreats, so it's not really about that. It's more, I want to make sure I'm making the right choices of, you know, like there is some stuff that just requires a lot of cognitive and creative energy. And the whole purpose of stringing all these days together is to be able to really dive in deep and do a bunch of it at the same time and just like be in that mode. When I'm splitting my brain energy between, you know, my day job and other things, it's like, this is really an opportunity for me to not have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it makes a lot of sense to have a pretty structured plan, and thinking about that plan maybe as like, this is my best first draft of how this is going to go, just to kind of relieve some of that background noise around not using it well or like not being strategic around what things that you're using. The analogy that's coming to my brain right now is like Kickstarter goals. So I don't know if they still even do these with Kickstarters, but like in the beginning there used to be like, okay, like here's the level at which we're fully funded, right? And like this is either a go or no go. And then there's a variety of stretch goals.
Right.
But if we get here, we can add this. If we get there, and I love that as a metaphor for kind of planning, because like you have sort of like, this is what's going to be fully funded as the retreat, so to speak. Like if you hit these milestones, you're going to walk away feeling like you used it really well. Mm-hmm. But then having these kind of stretch goals that are saying like, you know, if there's time and there's space and there's resources, both my energy and kind of calendar resources, I'm going to go for this.
Right. And that definitely works for me. I mean, like I do stretch goals all the time. Like that's definitely, and I think that's part of that tension and balance between the burnout and the doing all the things is like, but I also feel like typically when I do these retreats, I'll do several hours in the morning, have lunch, take a nap, and then come back, you know, so there's a lot of rest that's happening in these retreats. I go to bed early.
Sure.
Really trying to like stay in a mode where I can like keep working. And usually somewhere in the middle or maybe even twice in the middle, I'll take a day or a half day and just not do anything. So part of it too, like some of the things I have on my list is possibilities. Like I have a reading day on the list of just like taking a day and reading novels and like using it. Cause this is technically my vacation time.
Yeah.
I want to use it to get things done, but there's other possibilities of like what I could be doing. I do have a massage booked for the Saturday that I launched the retreat. I do, you know, like I have a haircut booked for the week of the retreat. Like there's just things that I have that are already in the schedule that will allow me to kind of take breaks and you know, build around that. But I do feel like the more we're talking about it, the more I'm realizing how much I want to just like, usually I do a kind of visual matrix.
Yeah. It's
almost like a table of like, here's Monday in the morning and here's Monday in the afternoon. And like, what do I want to do on each of these days? Yeah. And I just block them out so that I can kind of test what seems to fit where.
Right. And I guess I think that if that's what's calling to you, it would do it. And then just sort of say like, this is a first draft. And so maybe you have that matrix and it's filled out. And then you also make kind of like a list or you have some sort of awareness of, I call it like an emergency action plan. What are the four or five things that if I hit three of these, like these symptoms on the list, and they're not always symptoms, sometimes they're just kind of like clues, then I know that it's time to kind of reshuffle things or move that rest block up. Mm-hmm. But maybe that it's about saying like, okay, I really do want to lean in. And as I start to daydream about this, I think I do want this kind of not rigid, but like I want to have planned this out. I don't need it to be so flexible, but I do have a series of questions that I ask myself at various points, you know?
Yeah, and that's definitely built in. I mean, like this is like the benefit of having done this multiple times is like at any given point in the retreat, I'm reassessing and saying like, okay, how am I feeling about this? Do I need to shift this around? Is this taking longer than I thought it was? Am I enjoying myself? You know, like all of those things are kind of running through my head. And adjustments are constantly being made based on what's going on. I mean, I think one of the things that makes me kind of nervous about the website design stuff is I'm going to be playing around with brand elements for the first time in the new brand. And so one of the things I had written down is like playing with the new brand elements, like just playing, like going into Canva or another tool and just like messing around and seeing what I can create and templates and things like that. And part of me is wondering, like, to what degree can I do that before this starts so that I feel comfortable with the fonts and the, you know, like just pulling some of those elements together and feeling better about, you know, my capacity to like know how the colors fit together and different looks and feels that I want to do. So that's definitely something that I'm kind of like noting as maybe being like a pre-retreat activity. Like I need to do that before I even start so that by the time I get to the web design, I'm not like, wait, what am I doing? Cool. Like, and feeling uncomfortable with those things.
Yeah. And that's often a strategy that I suggest to people who are about to embark on like a writing boot camp or some sort of thing, is that sometimes it's just helpful to prime the well that, you know, if you're coming in cold to a dissertation boot camp and you haven't looked at it for 2 months, you're going to spend a big chunk of that first day like remembering where you saved it and like rereading your work. And I think that this isn't so much that you're coming in cold, but maybe it's a way to kind of like build excitement. You know, in the same way that you text somebody before a big date.
Oh yeah, totally. The anticipation is so much a part of this. Like, I think that's a big part of doing the planning is like, by the time you get to it, it's like, oh, now I can finally do the things that I've been thinking about, want to like dive into and spend all this time on.
Yeah. So maybe it's about saying like, okay, are there like, is there an hour between now and then that I can put in a couple of weekends to just load some of these things, especially if you have them already? And thinking about that as, because I'm a really big believer in the work that our brain's doing when they're doing other things. And I think that especially with stuff that's as creative as like visual style and brand elements, like there's a certain amount of kind of consistency. There's a lot of play.
Yeah, and there is.
Maybe it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm going to just like make a mood board, or that for the next couple of weeks on Instagram when I'm surfing, I'm going to just make a collection and save some kind of images. But thinking about what are some sort of passive ways to prime that well so that when you get there, you feel like you're ready to go.
Yeah. Well, and definitely like on my list of things is I'm still waiting for some of the packaged elements from this agency that I worked with, but I know what the fonts are. I know what the colors are. So I started like loading that. You can do a brand kit in Canva. And so the colors are in there. I started building like some branded photos, you know, like a folder of like what I call brand friendly photos that would be a good fit. And I mean, the good news is I feel like I have the foundation of, I know how to do planning for social and all those kinds of things that like a couple things on my list include fall content planning, you know, some social planning, trying to kind of think about how I want to leverage some of the brand elements and things like Instagram and other kinds of things. So I definitely don't feel like it all has to get figured out, but I do want to make some inroads around even setting basic goals of to what degree, like how much do I want to be posting? Because I really had kind of gone on hiatus with especially some of the stuff on Instagram, because I do stories, but like on the actual grid, I've been waiting because I didn't want to post a bunch of stuff and then have to completely rebrand everything. And, you know, so some things have really been on pause, and I've been like, this is the anticipation part. I have been waiting until I had these brand elements to just like go and really redo a lot of these things, including my newsletter and all kinds of stuff. So part of it, I think, is like, I'm excited about the website, but there's so many other things that I'm also like, I really want to dive into this other stuff too. And so I'm trying to make sure that I'm carving out time to touch a few different things just because I want to, not even necessarily because I feel pressure to kind of do it all at the same time, but just like, it'll be fun.
Yeah. And I guess, I think for me, as sitting on the outside of this retreat and thinking about some of the other conversations that we've had, I think it sounds like what might be helpful is just sort of like a dual plan, where there's one plan where you kind of like very carefully place in all of the elements and balance the website with the other projects in the way that feels like it's going to resonate from where you're sitting right now. And then there's sort of a second plan where you say, it's equally possible perhaps that I'm going to want to do 100% on the website, or that something's going to happen and I'm going to have to stop. And maybe being able to say, if some of what's so satisfying about these retreats is the feeling of having a well-made plan and then executing it, you know, to a level that makes me feel good, maybe saying like, okay, maybe the well-made plan in this instance is actually kind of a couple of different eventualities.
Right. I mean, the other thing that makes me think about is like, to what degree can I gamify it? And the, because like it's like such a question mark of like, how long will it take me to do the website? Like, I don't know. I don't know how long it will take me to like completely revamp these things. And if I say, you know what, I'm going to take Monday, or a day that's kind of open, I don't have any appointments, because of course I have meetings and other things scheduled during this window with clients and whatever. But if I can find a free period of 8 hours and I say, I just want to slam the website on this day, like, can I just get it done? Can I see how far I can take it? And I'm just going to do as much as I possibly can, you know, in this relatively short period of time. That kind of thing also appeals to me, is to kind of set up like challenges throughout the retreat and say like, what can I get done? And maybe one of the days is like, so one of the things I have on here is some September content creation around the podcast. Like, can I spend a day and just knock out the entire month of September in terms of podcast episodes, including social art, including, you know, like all the things, like show notes, like all the prep, that kind of thing. It's like, that's why I like to set up the days or the half days, because it's really almost like a challenge that I'm setting to myself to say, you have limited amounts of time. You're trying to get through as much as possible, doing quality work. How much can you fit in this window?
Right. And to me, because I'm me, of course, I'm like, oh, well, what if you did a challenge that was like, can I do this in a day and still take, you know, 15 minutes of every hour and be moving around? Or like, how many steps could I get in today? Or like, what things could be at my standing desk? Or like, I'm thinking about like that Apple Watch metric that's so helpful. It's like, can I get my standing ring, my heart rate ring, and like kind of thinking about that ring model as what are these other rings and things that I can kind of stack? Because it sounds like it's one of the things that's important is making sure that you nurture your body through this incredibly taxing cognitive thing that you're asking it to do. So maybe gamifying that part of it might help make it feel a little bit more present.
Yeah. And I think part of it is definitely like keeping the morning routine, doing like a midday stretch, yoga break, you know, something. But I also feel like this is okay. So this is attention. There's definitely like part of me that says, you're killing it on the cognitive creative side. It's okay to let some of this other stuff go, like for this period of time. Now, not the morning routine, not the walks, not the, like everything that like that is set, but it's like almost like my full attention has to go to the work. Like, it's just, if I want to do the flow state thing, which I don't always feel like I have control over, to be honest, it just happens and I'm in it. And then 8 hours later, I look up and it's like, oh, I probably should have a meal. I mean, like, this is like, it's how it was when I dissertated. It's how it is when I write books. I mean, it's just, I fall into it and I completely lose track of time, which is so fun and I love it. But there's definitely, typically, I think what happens is it's not like every hour I have to stop. It's at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I relax. I watch something on television. I have a nice meal and then I go to bed early. Like, it's not really something that's intermittent. It's like, I do the exhausting thing, it's over, and then I transition into the evening. Yeah. And sometimes that's like taking a walk, taking a shower, you know, doing something that's just like, let me disconnect from the work period.
Right.
And shift into doing, you know, another kind of routine. So that is attention, because part of, I think, the pleasure of these retreats is that I am not stopping. Like, I'm not forcing myself to come out of it. It's like, once I'm in it, I get to stay in it. And that's like the best part about it, is that I'm not having to constantly be like going to a meeting or pausing something to, you know, disrupt the process.
And so what about that feels like a tension? because to me, what you're describing is like something that you really enjoy about it. What is the other part that's pulling against that?
I think it's just that it's physically exhausting. So it's definitely just basically me putting aside the physical, you know, awareness and just saying like, you're going to have to wait. Like this is, I'm prioritizing something else over the physicality part. Now, if I'm doing the standing desk and stuff like that, it's totally possible that this is the first time I'm doing a creative retreat where I've had the standing desk.
Okay.
So that's a different kind of situation than I've had in the past. And, but yeah, I mean, I definitely will leave anytime, you know, you sit at a desk for 8 hours, it's not, you know, it doesn't feel good. So I think that that could be something that could be kind of blended in. It's just like standing up and, you know, like moving my position. So I'm not just like sitting hunched in my chair all day long at my computer.
And I think to me, what it sounds like is maybe it's just something that you get curious about. Like, can I be in my flow state if I'm standing up? Or what does my flow state feel like when I pay a little bit more attention to my posture? Or because it could be that you feel great in your flow state standing up. Or it could be that being able to switch positions actually helps you kind of like see things differently. But I think instead of approaching it as like, this is a tension and this is something that's like a new element and I have to kind of like be on my guard about what it does, approaching it more as like, I don't know what this is going to do. Like if I needed to, I could just put my desk down and sit and I would be okay. Like there's nothing to lose exactly. And there's just more data and experimenting to run.
Yeah, this is definitely, I mean, I feel like these creative retreats are absolutely a space for that experimentation. Like they're, is very, other than like doing the things that are on my list in some way, like, I mean, at the end of the day, I want to get them done. Like I think about when I do this for a writing retreat, you know, like it is about word count. It is about, you know, getting the words on the page. But when I do that and how I do that, and, you know, like I'll go in all kinds of directions, you know, like, and really follow kind of my instinct and what I want to do. If I'm not feeling it, I'm not forcing it either. So I'll take the morning or I'll, you know, take a break or whatever. But I think that, it's interesting because I feel like there's a lot of stuff in this particular retreat that feels connected in terms of the tasks. In previous retreats, it was really kind of switching cognitively from one thing to another. Like one day I was planning the content for the entire quarter of social media. And then another day I was like building a client website. And then another day I was having a consultation meeting, you know, like, I mean, it's very different tasks, whereas this all feels connected. So I'm actually really excited about that because I'm working with the brand elements in a lot of different capacities, which feels like a good opportunity to like do that deep dive, get really comfortable with it, experience, I'm sure, frustration around how I do certain things. But yeah, like that's exciting. Like the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Let's do it like right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it makes sense that it feels a lot more cohesive and that it's also bringing up these tensions and like has you thinking a little bit more about the embodied elements, if only because it's so connected to some of the values that the brand elements reflect, right? Like in the business. And so I'm seeing like a lot of cohesion. And I think that might be part of the resistance is when you've looked at the sort of things and you're like, well, here are 14 other things that I could do. And your brain is kind of pushing against that other list and saying, you know, I could do those things, but it doesn't feel as integrated as sort of really staying in the headspace of what do these values look like? What do they look like on my website? What do they look like, you know, in the rebrand? What do they look like in my social media? And just sort of really letting yourself lean into how this new direction that you're moving the business in visually, brand-wise, product-wise, offering-wise is so much more integrated around those values.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I was writing down as you were talking was like even having kind of like values words or theme words for the retreat. And so the ones I wrote down were cohesive, consistent, and integrated.
Yeah.
And I like that idea too of also thinking about, because really what the retreat is doing is launching me into the fall. Like, there's a lot of work I'm trying to do to lay groundwork and foundation for things that I will have to continue on past the retreat. Like, it's not like I can get it all done and then it's just over. It's laying the groundwork so that I can be implementing the brand in various ways. And I'm going to have to continue that work in a relatively busy season. So it's like it's a jumping off point, and trying to kind of get into a really good framework. So it's even helpful to think about those words. I've been using this new tool that I've talked about in a couple other places called Power Sheets. And one of the things you do each month is say, like, what are the words that are kind of guiding me this month? And so because this retreat falls the first month in September, it's a great way to say, like, September is a month of cohesion and consistency and integratedness and really thinking about how all of these things are working together. And I love that idea of, like, using the retreat to set the tone for even the next several months of what I'm trying to do within the business and with the brand in all these different spaces. That's a really cool potential outcome.
As somebody who works with those words, it might be something that you could do even, like, during those retreats, or, like, if you have a little bit of downtime. I did a whole year with three words in 2016, and it was totally transformative and also really difficult to, like, shift and change and have those words stay the same, but also have their kind of, like, meanings deepen and enrich in some ways. And it was helpful for me to start out, and I used to do it in my morning pages, and I used to think about it in other places, but maybe it's something to kind of prime in the next couple of days. What is, like, a mood board for those words? Or, like, what are the ways that those words, how can I support them? Like, maybe the novels that you pick are characters that deal with some of those things for your reading day. Or, like, maybe it's wrapped into some of the meal planning, or there's things that feel like they're playing with those words in other parts to help kind of engage it beyond, this is not just my business, but, like, this is also something that's guiding the foundations of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean to explore that, like, yoga wise? Like, I'm thinking about, like, what a cohesive yoga stretch break might feel like.
Mm-hmm.
or what an integrated approach to meal planning for the retreat could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love the idea of just having, it's interesting because like, people do, like, a word of the year, kind of like what you're talking about. And I have never been able to do that. Like, it's just, like, I'm not consistent enough. Like, it feels like a constraint more than anything.
Okay.
But lately I've really been drawn to this idea of, like, words for certain seasons. Mm-hmm. So it's not, like, for the entire year, because I feel like over the course of a year, just too much changes and there's a lot of shifting going on. But recently I set kind of an intention for a word for the remainder of 2019. And then I'm doing kind of these monthly, you know, just awareness around what are the things I'm trying to go for. And because I'm using this Power Sheets, you have kind of a monthly plan. They call it a tending page. So you're kind of constantly going back and looking at this page and seeing the words. And, you know, like, that to me is, like, I'm really rooted in that right now. So to do that for the retreat and to say, like, let's come back to this, like, on a consistent basis, and maybe to use the morning pages as a way to kind of not just report out on what's happening in the retreat, but kind of bring it back to, is it still aligned, you know, with these particular words and things. That to me is, like, setting an intention that goes beyond to-do items to how you want to feel.
Right. Yes. The words that I did were part of Danielle Laporte's Core Desired Feelings program, which is something that I have a variety of issues. 2016 was a different world, but one of my words that year was aligned, and it's funny to, like, hear it come back because it's not anymore. But I think that one of the things that's really powerful about that is seeing what it feels like in the morning and then seeing what it feels like in the afternoon, like when you shut down. So I used to write those words on my bathroom mirror so that when I was kind of, like, doing my wind down, I had a space where I could sort of naturally come back to it. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't feel like it was something that only mattered when I was at my desk. Mm-hmm. That it really was like a touchstone, and I had them on post-it notes everywhere, but kind of experimenting with other places that you can root into them on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, away I like the idea of the touchstones, you know, like what are the touchstones of the retreat in terms of, like, I think morning pages are a touchstone of just like checking in.
Right.
The morning walks, you know, like there's certain things that will be touchstones throughout, and adding in language around that, right. I think is really helpful. But also I think I just keep coming back to this idea of setting an intention, you know, like that it's more than, and it kind of goes back to the alignment piece too. Like, one of the people I follow online, Caroline Zook, talks about having alignment versus accomplishment, and like not focusing so much on to-dos and like what you're getting done, but to what degree does everything feel aligned? And that's so much what this is. Like, especially when you're talking about brand and consistency and cohesion, like, I mean, it is about alignment. It is about making sure everything is kind of coming together in a way that makes sense to you and to your audience. So that's another kind of helpful piece of language to think about.
Well, I think to sort of that end, maybe it's about sort of setting ahead of time what the reflection questions might be. So like, I'm going back to this kind of was like a learning assessor, like my kind of like old teaching and learning things, but like, okay, deciding what the, not necessarily the to-do outcomes or the productivity or those stretch goals are, because those are really important, but also like, what are the questions that I want to be able to answer at the end? Is it, like for me, one of the, my like continual reflection questions is, how much of this felt on purpose? How much of this felt like I was really present for it? And it might, sometimes setting up those reflection questions in advance, in the same way that Power Sheets kind of works, that like, you know what the questions are that you'll be asked to answer at the end of the month. So having those is kind of like an open frame to work towards with that sense of flexibility about how and when it might be answered.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that this is kind of making me think about is I have goals for the retreat that I wasn't articulating to myself. And like, as we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, okay. Like that's becoming more clear to me. So for example, one of my goals for this retreat is to get comfortable with my brand elements.
Okay.
Like just because I'm going to be working with them in so many different capacities and testing them and just kind of seeing what the boundaries are of, you know, like, especially just there's little visual elements that I can use in different ways. It is about me leaving the retreat feeling like, okay, I've got this under my belt. Like I feel like I can use this in a way that feels confident and that is aligned and that I know kind of what the boundaries are. And even today I took a few minutes and I was pulling together photos that were brand friendly. And I started with a pretty broad canvas. And then I came back and I was like, okay, some of these are not going to work. What is it about them?
Right.
And it was about kind of lightness and darkness. And I was able to kind of really pull apart the stuff that was going to work and the stuff that was not. Yeah. And so even that, you know, like of just, it takes time, like it takes play. You really have to get in there and like say, like just explore it. So I really do feel like there's some things going on under the surface like that, that maybe I can kind of bring to the surface and say, okay, you know, like, what are the things that are really going to help me to achieve that larger goal? Yes, it's the website, but it's also probably doing some social media design. It's probably also working on some worksheet templates, you know, like things that are going to help me to feel like I have, you know, got some experience under my belt of working with the different elements.
Right. And I think all of that comes back to sort of saying, okay, how can I clearly define what the mission of any of these sort of like project blocks are? Is it the specific list of to-dos? Is it that there is kind of like a learning goal? Is it that it's kind of like an emotional state? Is it a sense of comfort? Maybe being able in any of those goals to articulate it in a few different ways so that when it comes time to implement it, there isn't a sense of like there's this to-do list contract that you have and that's the only way that you're able to think about that block.
Right. I think they're right. I think there's these other angles of kind of working your way into it, which I think is really going to be a helpful way of dealing with things like frustration. Cause I know there will come a point where I'm trying to do something on the website and it's not working. And I'll be like, okay, like this is making me crazy.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, that is inevitable. So, you know, like, but in that moment to say, okay, like, it's okay. Like, this is not like you're launching the website on the final day of the retreat. Like, I think that that's the piece I have to keep in mind is like, I need to get the bulk of it done so that I can feel like I have a manageable amount of work to do in the midst of these other things I have on my plate. But the other thing this is really making me think about, and this is, I mean, a window into just how much of a planner I really am, but like really looking at the weekends for the rest of the fall. And some of them are going to be devoted to travel. Some of them I have, you know, other commitments and really just trying to say, what do I actually have between now and the end of the calendar year to devote to various things? But I have some deadlines. I mean, the coach training thing in particular, if that launches in January, you know, the coach training guide has got to get written. It has to be finished. So really, and that was one of the question marks I had for this 9 days. I mean, part of me said, what if you just slammed out the coach training guide in this retreat? Like, and just used it as a writing retreat, forget the websites, like just write. Yeah. And then I pulled back on that and I was like, no, I can do the writing on the weekends. I really want to do that. You know, like, so I've been kind of negotiating with myself about what if this, what if that, like just trying to kind of feel out what the possibilities are. And so that would also help me, I think, to look beyond the retreat and say like, what are the other potential work periods? And like, I'm planning a mini retreat over the Thanksgiving holiday because I can get a good 4-day chunk. I've got the end of the year, you know, I've got these other things. And that will also help me, I think, to strip away the stuff that I can put off and say like, I don't have to do that right now because I have these other things, you know, that I can focus on. I can wait and kind of push some of those things off to later in the fall.
Right. And I think that part of it, the bright flashing words in front of my eyes right now are like radical self-trust. Like you're kind of learning to say like, I am approaching this in a way that I haven't exactly done it before. I know that the constraints are real and I'm just going to trust that I know how to navigate this in a few different paths and that there's not just this one. It's like those video game levels where it's like there's only one way and if you miss this one square, you're not going to pass this level. And sort of being like, I know that that's not the framework that I'm working
with.
There's multiple ways that I'm going to be able to achieve these goals. And I trust my own abilities and my own capacity to say, I'll be able to find a path that satisfies everything that I need to for this push to be aligned.
Yeah. And I think actually that's a really good word that I want to write down too is satisfaction and satisfied, because I think that what I like at the end of these retreats is I feel satisfied. I feel like even if it didn't work out exactly as I wanted, I almost always hit like at least the minimum viable product of what I was looking for. Like, and oftentimes I go far beyond that, but I know how to set reasonable expectations for myself. I know how to do the stretch goals, but I want to leave the retreat feeling satisfied. Like I don't want to leave it, you know, just like in a state of anxiety or tension or just like, oh, I need one more day. Like, I mean, that's not what these retreats are about. They're about doing something really enjoyable and getting a lot of pleasure out of doing the creative work and keeping it in a really positive frame of, you know, I look forward to these, like these are fun ways for me to spend my time. So I think that satisfaction piece is also really important to think about, like, what does it mean to be satisfied, especially as I'm stretching out this work over the course of several months, you know, like this is the kickoff, but I know it's going to be continuing on.
Right. And I think sort of thinking about how can I best honor the real spirit of these retreats. And I think what I've heard you articulate so clearly in the session is that as much as from the outside or from where I am sitting, like watching your Instagram stories of the retreats, it's not necessarily about checking off every single box in every single order and sort of following this as much as it is really saying, I respect the part of myself that needs and craves this deep, reflective, focused, flow state work to use my precious vacation days and like these very, like to use this resource that is so precious to me in this way. And so I think being able to really separate and say like, yes, functionally, these retreats do accomplish these things. But for where I'm sitting as like a whole person, it's really about honoring this gift that I'm giving to myself of this time, of these spaces, of this planning. And knowing that honoring it looks different.
Yeah, No, that's really true. I mean, I see these, I feel so comfortable with the concept of this retreat. I mean, it's so interesting because people will be like, how do you do it? Like, what are the logistics? Yeah. And I'm like, it's just, it's very natural for me to do this now. Like it feels like a really important, but very natural part of my creative life. And so, yes, I mean, it is about honoring it. It's also about honoring the work of, I mean, I think this kind of goes back to the goals, and I want to use that verb. I'm not quite sure exactly how, but like when I'm working on the coach training website, I'm really honoring something that feels very important to me. Like it's not about making, I mean, of course it's a revenue generator for my business, but there's a much deeper reason why I'm doing training. You know, like, or why I'm building out certain elements of radical self-trust on my side, or why I'm doing this rebrand. Like part of it is I'm wanting to connect with people in a very particular way. And so honoring that, like honoring the deeper work of the why behind the to-dos.
Right.
Like that's a big part of the retreat as well.
Yeah. And I think that it's such an interesting frame to think about something that could be so craven. Like sometimes when people are like, oh, it's my brand, like you kind of get this sense that like it's this very mechanical thing. And I think what I'm really hearing you say is that like, yes, it's about making things cohesive, and yes, it's about my business looking and feeling a certain way to people that are encountering it, but it's also about saying like, this is a part of me that I'm taking and beaming out into the world.
Oh yeah. I mean, the brand, I mean, what was so interesting about working with this agency was the brand is really a representation of my values. Yeah. I mean, like what you're going to see in the rebrand is like elements of creativity and elements of like artfulness in some ways, and kind of like messiness in the midst of like systems, you know, like so there's this like interesting balance of I'm a systems thinker, but I'm also understanding that creativity is messy and life is messy and we're going to figure it out. You know, like this is, I'm here to help you do that. And that was super fun to kind of see what are the ways that this kind of stuff can come out, because it is a representation of my identity, my values, and helping to communicate to other people what it is that, you know, I can help you do. And I think that brands, I mean, this is probably going into a, you know, a totally different direction than we should, but it's about either drawing people in or repelling them. You know, like as quickly as possible. Like I want people to figure out if I'm for them or not. And if I'm not, go find your thing. I mean, like, don't waste your time with me.
There are many flavors of cereal in the aisle.
Right. There's a ton of flavors of cereal. You know, like, so I think that that's a big part of it too, is like, it's important to me to be really clear about what's going on so that people can make educated decisions.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that's come through in this call and also in sort of the other things is being able to say like, this is authentic to me. And like, I'm going to do a yoga practice, but it's going to be in a way that's authentic to how I'm thinking about my body and my schedule and like my values. And these are the sort of same things, and that these retreats are a deeply authentic thing. They're not an external, it's not an external obstacle course that you're making yourself jump through because you feel like this is the only way, but like this is a very genuine reflection of the way that you like to work and the way that you like to sort of honor the importance of these projects.
Yeah.
And so with that kind of as the foundation, I think it goes back to sort of the earlier point that there's probably no wrong plan, but it's about thinking about how do you want to arrive and what work can you do beforehand to arrive in this space so that you feel like it's as aligned as it can be with these values, these functions, these parts of yourself that want to come out and get filled.
Yeah. I'm seeing kind of two potential homework items for this. Yeah. One is thinking about that pre-work. Like, what is it that I want to do between, because as we record this, I have roughly 2 weeks before this starts. Yeah, I've got a good, maybe 10 days that I can kind of like do some things. So there's that. And then the second to do, I think, is actually to build out that schedule draft and kind of start piecing some things and thinking about, again, with that idea of cohesion, consistency, integratedness, alignment, how can I kind of, not necessarily order things, but kind of chunk them in ways that make sense. And then maybe even a third to do is to think about the goals, but I do feel like I identified at least two through this call. One is getting comfortable with those brand elements and just like feeling a good sense of satisfaction around that. And then two is honoring the deeper why behind the to-do list and really using this time to kind of reconnect or more deeply connect. I don't know that I feel disconnected from it, but to more deeply connect
just
with.
Just spend time with it.
Right. To just like give it time and
let it unfold.
Maybe. Commune.
Yes.
Commune with the deeper why. I'm all about that.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. And I think that that is in line with the things that I wrote down as sort of like goals. But I think that from where I'm sitting, the most important part of it is just to say, I've built this opportunity and I'm going to celebrate that as many chances as I can. And I'm going to let this be as joyful as it wants to be.
Yeah.
Not that every minute is going to be perfectly joyful, because sometimes CSS is not joyful. But being able to say, there is something very true and very good about knowing what we need and offering that to ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
And then as long as we're kind of connected to that, there's 1,000 different variations that'll let you be there.
Agreed. I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. It makes me want to do
it. Super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It as much as like it appeals to me as a concept, I 100% know that I would be paralyzed by it and like
to do a creative retreat.
Retreating is a hard zone for me, but I often feel the different parts. Like I feel like I have a retreat every morning in the way that you're describing.
Yeah,
my mornings are very slow and very private and very for me.
That's awesome. Well, this was really helpful, Katie. Thank you for helping me think through this. Like, I do feel like I did uncover some cool things here, and I'm excited to dive into it, and we'll definitely kind of update.
Yes, I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, because I do think I'll have to check our schedule of when we're recording, but we will definitely have at least some update on the retreat. And of course, people who are listening to this later, I'll probably have something on my Instagram that you can look at.
You'll be able to see it.
I'll do Instagram stories. I'll save it somewhere. Like, I mean, you can go back and check it out.
It'll be one of your new branded highlights. You'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at my highlights. You'll see something about a September retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Katie. This was really fun.
You're welcome. So excited to get this chance to connect with you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Coach to Coach. For any resources mentioned in the episode, check out the episode show notes at drkatielinder.com/coach. If you found this episode to be helpful, please take a moment to rate or review the show in Apple Podcasts or recommend this episode to a friend or colleague. Thanks for listening.